Rafi awoke to the smell of smoke. Not the comforting scent of wood smoke or the sweetly spiced aroma of Safa's cooking fires, but a sharper, wilder tang that coiled down his nostrils, clawed into his throat, and whispered to him of danger. Was that the ghost speaking to him again? Disoriented, he jolted up, clutching at the hammock's webbed sides. His left hand twinged in pain, startling his gaze down to the brownish stain smearing the ragged bandage knotted around his palm. The one on his thigh, too, though that wound was still oozing. Cheshu takes a hack in all his wicked blades. Raucous snoring jarred Rafi from his thoughts. Cradling his left hand to his chest, he blinked through the hazy dawn light spilling over the thicket of hammocks strung across the crew's quarters, to where Mok sprawled in the closest, scarred head thrown back, long limbs spilling over the sides, calloused feet brushing the deck each time the ship rocked. Rafi couldn't imagine sleeping with such easy abandon, yet somehow, despite his injuries, or maybe because of them, he'd managed to sleep through the night with the giant Alonke snoring like a thunderstorm beside him. He still felt like he waded through a heavy fog. Only slowly did the rest of his senses catch up. Voices filtered from above. Bare feet thumped nearby. The cords of that strange webbed hammock thrummed beneath him, and beyond the surrounding bulkheads, the sea moaned. Closer, a high-pitched scream shivered through the ribs of the ship, and prickles broke out across his neck and spine as he caught a whiff of that smoke again. "Mok," he whispered. "Do you smell that?" Mok grunted and rolled over. His hammock creaked and groaned in complaint, straining under his bulk. His snoring resumed. Stretching out his good leg, Rafi kicked at his friend's bundled form. Instead of jostling Mok, that just made Rafi's own hammock wobble and sway, but luckily it lacked the wild, twisting action of the one he'd slept in, and fallen out of, for 2 years in Torva's hut. Oddly enough, he actually missed that ornery thing. "Mok," Rafi raised his voice, "wake up." But Mok just grumbled and snored on, so Rafi pitched his voice lower instead, enticingly. "Breakfast, Mok. Rice cakes and Simba wedges and fried saga crisps still dripping from the oil." His own stomach started rumbling at that, but the ploy worked. Mok cracked an eye open and mumbled, voice thick with sleep, "Is Safa cooking?" Rafi understood the awe in his tone. Safa's cooking could roust a rebel from his hammock like nothing else, and it deserved its near-mythical reputation. No one used spices and sauces quite like Safa, creating flavors that fed both nostalgia and novelty. Of course, Safa was far away, safe in the headquarters of the K Revolution, so he ignored the question and slid gingerly from his hammock, careful to land on his good leg. "Smoke, Mok. Do you smell it?"
"Don't smell food, that's for sure."
Mok yawned and scratched his stomach.
"So who's cooking then, cousin? And are they burning the saga crisps?"
Shaking his head, Rafi limped toward the companionway, chasing the smoke topside.
"What?" Mok called after him. "No one likes burnt crisps."
Grumbled complaints shushed Mok as Rafi squeezed past three other dozing cocooned forms who must have rotated off the night watch. Drained by his aquatic confrontation with Sahak, not to mention the strain of his wounds, Rafi had collapsed straight into his hammock last night and slept like a felled log since. Given all this talk of food, he hoped someone had thought about breakfast. Otherwise, he would have to scrape something together himself that would make Safa proud, or at least not disappointed. Seaweed tea and fried saga crisps sounded like a decent start. But would a foreign ship have such supplies? What exactly did they eat in Soldonia? He surfaced through the hatch into a hustle of activity. A brisk, salty breeze whipped the mist around him, ruffling his tattered trousers and stinging his numerous scabbed-over cuts. Elder Gordou barked orders from the helm that sent the fisherfolk scurrying to scale the rigging. Under his direction, the villagers of Zorad seemed to have taken to sailing with ease, though the foreign vessel, with its tall mast and snapping sails and decks raised fore and aft, was a far cry from the simple oared crafts they'd used to ply their trade before.
"Out of the way!" someone shouted, rushing past with a coiled line.
Rafi dodged, knocked against a tethered barrel, and tripped against it, hampered by his wounded leg.
He caught himself face to face with old Hanu, who slouched behind the barrel with a large, floppy hat shadowing his thin face. Hanu raised a crooked finger to his lips, tugged the hat down, and continued snoozing, conveniently hidden from Gordu's sight. Still up to his old tricks. Nice to know some things didn't change. Straightening, Rafi caught a scowl from Gordu clear across the deck and smiled pleasantly in return. Some people were as fond of scowling as he was of smiling, and who was he to deny them such a simple pleasure? Hanu could sleep, Mok could snore, Gordu could scowl. What did Nahiki care? That stray thought jarred him from his complacency. Nahiki was no more. He had made his choice. He was Rafi Tetrani, an identity with roots, no longer free to drift and let drift, and that meant learning to make his stand. Gordu raised one eyebrow, jabbing a finger at Rafi, but something closer to hand snagged his attention.
Sev!
Gordu had a voice like a water buffalo and the lungs to match, which had been wasted in the fishing village, but here meant the whole ship could hear his commands.
Get that boat secured! Don't want it sliding across my deck!
Ducking around the mast, Rafi came upon Sev and a handful of others midship, lowering a boat, hull up, beside the large central hatch. Water slicked the boat's sides and spattered their feet. He recognized several who had been on Neff's team the day before, sent inland as a distraction, so the ship must have reached the rendezvous point and launched the boat to retrieve them, all while he'd still been sleeping.
You got salt in those ears? Gordu bellowed. Working on it, Sev yelled back, then muttered, you great blowhard.
At his nod, the others tossed lines over the boat, and he knotted them off, then tugged the tail end twice. The ship shuddered and seemed to skip across the waves. Rafi flung out his arms to balance himself. That was odd. It almost felt like what he'd done to the longboat full of royal guards, twisting through the water atop his sea demon colt, churning and striking and leaping until it seemed he wielded the sea itself against the hack. He stumbled to the port rail and searched until he spotted a familiar dappled shape with bright blue eyes cutting through the swell alongside, ghost haunting him still. His lips tugged into a relieved grin. Of course, he'd been too exhausted last night to wonder if the colt would follow once released into the sea, but recalling yesterday's wild, exhilarating dive and the strength of Ghost's surging form while he clung to his soft, white, rippling mane, he breathed easier knowing Ghost had chosen to stay. For Safa's collar root crackers, probably, but also, maybe, for him. Cresting a wave, the colt tossed his mane and squealed before diving again. His movement seemed playful rather than threatening. Rafi doubted the colt was to blame for whatever was. The ship trembled again, and the planks groaned under Rafi's feet. Muttered cursing drew his focus back to Sev, whose knots had slipped, allowing the boat to skid forward and crunch against the rail. Waving off Gordu's shouting, Sev dropped to his knees and struggled to wrestle the boat and ropes back into place. He jammed his thumb and yanked his hand back, shaking blood from his split nail.
Tashu!
Here, Rafi limped over. Let me help. Sev's head shot up and his initial scowl faded.
Oh, it's you.
Me, Rafi said lightly, who happens to be a master at tying knots, whereas you have always been all thumbs.
It's not me. It's those cursed beasts rioting below.
He punctuated each word with a tug that made the boat scrape across the deck, then flicked his gaze up briefly to meet Rafi's.
Having those creatures so close, it's bad luck for certain.
Rafi eyed the weathered planks beneath his feet, only a thin barrier separating them from their unexpected cargo. A stiff gust caught him across the face, bringing another whiff of that wild and tangy smoke. Standing shirtless in his blood-stained, salt-stiff trousers, he felt goose flesh prickling his arms, though the breeze wasn't cold. Could all of this, the strange smoke, the bizarre way the ship moved, be their doing? He'd barely begun to understand what Ghost could do. How could he comprehend these far stranger beasts of fire and wings and stone?